Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Another awesome Sunday.
Amen.
And here we are, about to open God's Word, and who knows what we'll do.
Who knows what will happen? The Holy Spirit comes and guides us and leads us in all truth. Amen.
Amen. After all, he wrote the book. You know, when people say, you know, I look at the Bible and I don't understand it, I say, well, why don't you ask the author? He might be able to help you out.
You know, yeah, Jesus says if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to withhold it from you.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about God is, you know, God's mercy and God's love is so abundant. And so much more than we can ever imagine.
Yes.
That if we just call upon him and say, Lord, help me.
Yes.
Lord, I need your counsel.
Yes.
Lord, I ask for wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, God does not, a humble and contrite heart, it says, oh, Lord, you will not spurn. In Psalm 51, I think it is.
Yeah.
And
I love the Chris Tomlin song about the angel armies.
Oh, yeah. Whom shall I fear?
Yeah. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the commander of armies and armies of angels. But if you say, hey, you got to help me with this, he's at your side.
You know, that what's that word? Hineni?
Hineni. Yeah.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am.
And, you know, when we ask God, when we say that, here I am, Lord. Because we're in a covenant relationship, what does God tell us?
Yeah.
Here I am.
Here I am.
He's right there.
Yes.
Waiting to, and he knows all your needs. He knows everything about you.
Yeah.
And he's just, a lot of, I mean, most of the time, God's just waiting for us to ask him.
Yeah. And so when Jesus said, you know, the Father knows that you need these things.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times they don't ask.
It's not like a surprise to him if we say, you know what, I can't make my house payment and I don't know if you're aware of this, but I need another $100 to make my house payment. But anyway.
Speaking of an extra $100, normally.
So we did actually quite a few shows about from Acts chapter 10 about Peter and Cornelius. And then two weeks ago now, since we, last week we had Father Bob Franco and Eric Carpenter with us talking about Catholic charismatic renewal.
So, right.
Then we 2 weeks ago we did Acts chapter 11, which was actually a very interesting thing about Peter being confronted by other believers saying, "Why'd you go to a Gentile house? Why'd you go to the Gentile house?
Yeah,
you're not supposed to do that." But then he explained to them that they received the Spirit just like we did. And then it said these people who were questioning him then remained silent.
Mm-hmm.
They had like nothing else to say.
Yeah.
And yeah. I kind of thought about that because last week we were talking about how in charismatic renewal, how it's gone across every denomination.
Right.
And when you have had an experience with the Lord and been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have a natural fellowship with other people that have also had that.
Right.
No matter what denomination that they're in.
Exactly.
I mean, they might be Catholic, they might be Lutheran, they might be Episcopalian, they might be Jewish believers, they might be Assemblies, or whatever they are.
Anglican, yeah.
Yeah, you have that common bond. And these guys in Jerusalem finally said, well, we have nothing else to say now that we realize those Gentiles got the same Spirit in the same way that we did.
Yeah.
We better keep our mouth shut because this is pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, because they questioned Peter.
Oh.
You know, you're meeting with Gentiles. You're staying in their home. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And again, this is all new to them. This is all new to them because the Spirit of God is being poured out upon all flesh, as it said in the book of Joel. And this movement of God, it's not something man does.
Right.
It's something God does.
Exactly.
It's God's intervention. And really, in the church today, when no matter what denomination you're in, if you're a leader, if you're a clergy or a pastor or a priest or a bishop, avail yourself to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because he has infinitely more wisdom than any of us have combined.
Amen.
And the proudness and the haughtiness of heart that we can have sometimes
is really a block to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so this great gift that God's given us, that Jesus foretold of to his disciples many times, the coming of the Holy Spirit, is there to build the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know,
it's not for our own enjoyment.
It's not for our own enjoyment. It's serious business.
Yes.
It's serious business.
To build up the body, as he says in Ephesians 4. And Paul, you know, along with what you just said, Paul says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you can think probably of many ways that you could grieve the Holy Spirit. And of course, the big one is, he doesn't do stuff like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever this is not right.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm not expecting anything to happen. I'm just expecting to go to church and then go home.
Yeah.
That grieves the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, putting our plans, you know, our arrogance and our pride mm-hmm. and saying, well, I'll decide what I want to do. And if this is a ministry that I'm going to do, I'll decide how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that grieves the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And putting up blocks, you know, getting sidetracked by sins
mm-hmm.
will grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's, although we're in a covenant of grace and God is always ready to pour out oceans of grace and mercy on us.
Right.
If we get sidetracked into a whole series of sinful ways, it's going to be different than if you're back where you were trying very hard to follow the rules.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say rules, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trying to follow his way of life, how he wants you to live his life and being open to the Spirit.
Yeah.
But because sin also grieves the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, many times people will have a plan for their life.
Right.
Not a bad thing to try and do that.
Sure.
But a lot of times that can happen outside of a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And we make our plans and we think this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I like to do. And I know in my own life, I certainly was not expecting to end up doing what I'm doing now for the last 11 or 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, ministering music in the church.
Yeah.
But I find great joy in that.
Yeah.
And it's something that I love to do. But if you would have told me 15 years ago that I was going to be doing that, I would have thought, that's kind of crazy.
Every time many times when I'm at one of the Bible studies I teach or one of the prayer meetings I do, I always say, if somebody would have told me 25 years ago I'd be doing this tonight, I would have rolled my eyes and said, you are crazy.
Yeah.
Because I planned my life till I was about 43 years old.
Yeah.
And I have this all planned. This is mm-hmm. what I'm doing for my career. This is what I'm doing with my family. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing for everything.
Yeah. And some, you know, God's sovereign. He sees all that.
Yes.
And so it's not like it's not like that he can't use that.
Right. And he does use it.
And he uses it all the time.
Yes.
He will take somebody's, he will allow somebody to go through something and then intervene in their life and direct their path.
Is this going to involve pruning?
It usually does.
Oh, I knew it.
See there? You got to be open. Come on. You got to be open to it. Come on. I got the shears right here.
I think about that lately because I've been doing a lot of yard work and cutting branches. And
gosh. Just think of how those bushes feel. Novelly. So,
well, you never know. I mean, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about Paul, St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have ever thought, I mean, he left for Damascus to go round up these believers and bring them back to Jerusalem so the high priest could try them.
Yeah.
I mean, he had warrants. He was great. And if that morning that the Lord intervened in his life in a very powerful way, if somebody would have said, you know what, in about another 6 hours, you're going to be a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he would have rolled his eyes and said, I'm on my way to round those guys up. Because he had, of course, no idea of that.
Right.
But here was this brilliantly intelligent, educated guy. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Tarsus, which had Greek culture, but he was Jewish. There were a lot of Jews there. So he was fundamental in Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
But he also understood Greek and Latin because it was a Roman colony.
Right.
He understood how the people there lived in Turkey and in Greece. Mm-hmm. Then he went back and studied in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So here was this guy who was more zealous for the law than anybody, as he says in Galatians 1, who has all this background in Greek culture, Roman culture, Jewish culture. He's got all that as preparation for what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So when he shows up in Turkey, he's not like us going to New Guinea. He knows the place.
Yeah.
When he goes to Greece, he can speak Greek with the people.
Yeah. And that's a perfect example of God using someone whose whole life had been formed, you know, basically under Judaism.
Yes.
And it wasn't like that was a bad thing to have happen, because that was their faith.
Yes.
Okay, that was their worship. But God took all that.
Yes.
Everything that he had encountered and experienced and all of his knowledge.
Yes.
And now he's using it to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because that's the good news.
And it says when he left for Damascus, he was still breathing murderous threats.
Yeah.
You can imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, Luke writes he was breathing murderous threats. So can imagine being in that party with him walking. I'm going to find out where all these people are, and I'm going to make sure that da, 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 da. And then 6 hours later, he's, are you, Lord?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and God's mercy is such that he can use anybody. God's grace is such that he can use anybody.
Yes.
He can change the heart of the most hardened person on this planet. And he can use anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, the prodigal son is a wonderful example of that.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, the recent summit with, you know, the North Korean leader, you know, when I was watching that, I got this sense of they've done some terrible things, but they're not beyond God's mercy.
Right.
And there's this, you know, there's this opportunity for this brand new beginning.
Yeah.
And it's what God, it's the mercy that Jesus offers each and every one of us that we can come to him anew and start again.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we can get caught up in things of the past, things that we've done, things that we've experienced in the past. And instead of asking God for healing and forgiveness, we hold on to things and we block the flow of the Holy Spirit. We block God's grace. And, you know, this is something where, God wants to heal us. Jesus wants to set us free. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking last week, you know, with Father Franco and Eric, you know, availing yourself to the Holy Spirit is something that each person has to do as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, because without the Holy Spirit, you can't effectively minister the gospel on your own.
Exactly.
Because you're building the house without the help of God.
Yes. Amen.
You're laboring in vain.
You're laboring in vain. Yeah, that's exactly. You got to the quote before I did.
Yeah.
and that's true. And like we always say, it's not about how many committee meetings you have, and it's not about how you plan out, you know, I'll be on this date, I'm going to this town, on this date, I'm going to that town.
Right.
And it's a very commonly, as we were saying, an unexpected thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Paul, but all those guys. I mean, the apostles that walked with Jesus for 3 years, and we've done so many shows showing right up until they went up into the upper room just before Pentecost.
Yeah.
They didn't have any way to know what was going to happen. What is this clothed with power from above business? What's this, another paraclete? I don't get any of this. And then,
right.
And then, boom, as we were saying before the show, boom, or whammo, or whatever you want to say. You know, 10 minutes after that, they're all outside preaching.
Yeah.
And that was the last thing they were probably thinking. They knew something was going to happen, but that was probably the last thing Peter was thinking about that Sunday morning at 5:29 was, oh yeah, pretty soon I'm going to bring 3,000 people into this new church.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he ever went around quoting scripture. I mean, it's never documented that Peter went around quoting scripture.
No, but the only thing that he got right is when Jesus said, who do they say that I am?
Yes.
You know, he goes, well, you're the Son of the living God, yeah.
Yeah, and then he quotes from Joel, he quotes from the Psalms. It's awesome.
And, you know, as you said, well, he didn't go around quoting scripture, but the, you know, when Jesus was trying to tell them he was going to be crucified, that he would die and rise again, Peter says, Not with me here, Lord. Yeah. Not with me.
Don't even talk like that.
Yeah, it's crazy talk. But, and even at the resurrection, they didn't understand what the paraclete was, with this wait here in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. You're going to receive the promise of the Father. Mm-hmm. It's all foreign to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all foreign to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have been an awesome experience in the upper room.
Oh, yeah. And we've both had experiences where we're doing things we didn't expect we were going to be doing.
True.
And everybody who's, you could mention scores and hundreds and thousands of people, you know, and I was struck, six months ago, whatever it was, when Billy Graham died.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a quote that he said. He goes, well, I'm just one of, you know, many thousand evangelists that God has called.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like he reached hundreds of millions of people. He says, well, I'm just one evangelist that got called.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought, you know, when Billy Graham was 10 years old, he didn't think, oh, you know what, over the next few decades, I'm going to reach hundreds of millions of people are going to hear me preaching
right.
on TV and in person and on the radio and eventually on the internet. And yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he thought about being a minister or a pastor somewhere,
yeah.
but there's no way that we always know, there's no way that we ever know the fullness of it. But quenching the Spirit definitely inhibits that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we've seen, you and I have both seen it happen in prayer mm-hmm. meetings, church services,
yeah.
Bible study groups, I mean, yeah. anything you name, home groups where the Spirit is moving, and then all of a sudden somebody says, okay, anybody else have any questions? We'll meet again next week at 7.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's over.
Yeah. It happens no matter what denomination you're in.
Yes.
It happens all the time where somebody who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit and is attentive to the Holy Spirit sees a leader, sees a pastor come in and squelch it.
Yes.
And they think that because they have the title, or that they have some, superior knowledge or something, that they know how this is going to work.
Well, the title is a big thing.
Yeah. And that's the biggest inhibitor.
Yes.
I'm the authority. I'm the block to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. the person that has the gift of the Holy Spirit and that's open to it sees the Holy Spirit get squelched.
Yeah.
And so it's not about, I want to say this. It's recognizing the movement of the Holy Spirit and it's just like when the Pharisees and Sadducees, or the Pharisees said, do not preach in that name to the apostles.
Yes.
We forbid you to mention the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We have to be obedient to God, not to men.
Not to men.
And it still happens in our day today.
And two, when they were there in front of the Sanhedrin said, these guys aren't even educated.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect thing about, we're the authority here.
Yep.
You guys are a couple of fishermen. You're not even educated.
And the same thing happens in our culture today.
Yes.
It still does.
Well, yeah, I think the titles have a lot to do with it.
Yeah. It's a human condition.
Yeah. I used to always think about that in my profession because, you encountered people at conferences and meetings that were, chief of medicine at Mayo Clinic, and they had 18,000 credentials and, all kind of degrees after their name, and they walked around, looking very pompous, and everybody said, oh, here comes Dr. So-and-so. But, you put them in a room with a patient, they didn't even know how to talk to the person.
Yeah.
And then some, lowly schmuck like me, goes in a room and becomes friends with whoever you're treating.
Yeah.
Because you talk to them like they're a person, not, oh, I'm Dr. So-and-so, I'm chief of medicine at the, but, well, yeah. That's nice, but.
Right. And that's where, education is a great thing.
Yeah.
But being humble about it.
Yes.
Or being humble about your ministry and what you do in life.
Yes.
And being grateful for it.
Yeah.
With gratitude goes a long way.
Yes. And in that Sanhedrin, these were men that were very well educated, knew the scriptures. They spent their whole life studying the Torah and the prophets. And so what they were doing was they were being arrogant about the spiritual knowledge they had,
yes,
saying, you two guys can't possibly do anything. You're not even educated.
And in fact, what they did was they squelched the movement, the Spirit of God. They weren't being a light to the nations.
Yes. And, you know, in fact, in Matthew 23, you know, Jesus says to them, not only do you not get into the kingdom, but you prevent others from going in.
Yeah.
Which
exactly.
is a really stinging rebuke.
Yeah.
And and that's a great example, but it happens in churches too. And when the Pentecostal movements of the early 20th century started, nobody saw it coming. Nobody said, oh good, it's 1900, so now pretty soon
it's going to
be. And then next thing you know, there was Azusa Street and there was all these other things in it, but, and it went on and on through the whole 20th century.
Yeah. And there was a gradual opening, you know, there was a gradual opening of people's hearts to it. Because God does that.
Yes.
But it's not something that one person said, oh, I'm going to open my heart to the Holy Spirit because I think it's time for it.
Yes, exactly.
God's the one that he pursues us. He continually goes after us. He continually draws us near, you know, he draws us to himself. And when we say yes and we give our fiat, our yes to God, man, he can move in miraculous ways because... One, because he's God, he's infinite.
Yeah.
But, and he only needs a little bit of our yes.
Yes.
To, you know, just break doors open.
When you read those accounts of things that were going on in those prayer meetings at Azusa Street, there were whites, there were blacks, there were Hispanics, there were Orientals.
Yeah.
All in this place, and they had prayer meetings 7 nights a week.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was moving through the whole thing. There were all kind of signs and wonders, manifestations.
Yeah.
And it went on for a long time, but it wasn't like, okay, the white people sit over there, the black people sit over there, right, the Hispanics sit over there. And now when you have Holy Spirit outpourings, you know, you don't say, well, all the Catholics sit over there, all the Anglicans sit over there,
right,
all the Lutherans sit over there.
Yeah. Well, you know what the, you know, you got to think of John 10:10 when Jesus says the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy.
Yeah.
What has happened in our culture? We've been divided by baiting.
Yes.
Satan always wants to bait us into an argument,
exactly,
into a trap. And as believers in the Lord, you know, we have to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it's not about the separation or the segregation, because Jesus comes that we might have life and have it to the full. Not just for a person, not just for a race or a, you know, it's for everybody that God created. And you see that as you're talking about what happened in Azusa Street in the early 1900s. The Spirit of God brings that unification. The spirit of the evil one brings division and discord.
Yes.
And churches need to, you know, churches do need to speak out against that in the name of Jesus. You can't just do it and speak out. You got to take authority in the name of Jesus and rebuke it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And I think your point about it's always unexpected is a really good point. I wasn't thinking about before, but nobody plans, today I'm going to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit.
I certainly didn't.
No.
There were things that led me to that, but I certainly wasn't going, oh, you know, I think, okay, I see what's happening here. Yeah, God's going to bring me into the encounter with the Holy Spirit, and then this is going to happen.
And I met a lot of interesting people before I was a believer that were believers.
Right.
And they would say things to me, and I would think to myself, well, you know, he's a really nice guy, but that's kind of weird. Wait a minute. He's going to do something at his church on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
What are you going to church on Tuesday night for?
Yeah.
I don't even want to go on Sunday, let alone Tuesday night.
I had a conversation with the young lady. She goes, I'm going to church on Tuesday night. Do you believe in God? I'm like, well, of course I believe in God, but I'm not going to church on Tuesday night. And that kind of started the whole conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of interesting to look back. I always have this thing in my mind about, we know Paul was younger than Jesus, and we know he was at the temple from the time of his bar mitzvah on. So he would have been there when Jesus was at the temple. And I always like to think they passed each other in the courtyard or somewhere.
Yeah.
And Saul wouldn't have even noticed Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus probably went, little does he know.
Probably.
I can't believe it's the music already.
I know.
We were supposed to talk about Acts chapter 12, but this was more fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
We'll get to Acts chapter 12 next week. And we just pray that you would be open to the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, He will remind you of all truth, and He will guide you and lead you, and He will remind you of everything I said and guide you and lead you in all truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.